Welcome. You are listening to the Upper Room Podcast. For more information or to donate to this ministry, visit urfellowship.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is really good to be back together. Happy Father's Day to you who are fathers or grandfathers or stepfathers or those who are just filling in the gaps. Maybe you aren't even a biological dad, but you've stepped into a position where where there's just a need of a father. Awesome. I salute you all. Well done, men. So we're starting a new series of messages this weekend. It's called It Is Well With My Soul. And if you have your Bible or a Bible app, you can make your way to Luke chapter 10. That's where we're going to be. We're going to move pretty quick today. So I don't know how you're feeling, but I think that there are some folks with some tired souls right now, right? 2020 has been pretty tough, on my spirit anyway. Anybody else feeling that? Yeah, we're a smaller than crowd than normal, so you can just talk. You can just talk to me if you want, right? Good. Yeah, so welcome home. You're in the right place because I think that's probably most of us. Because of that, we're going to do this series just about the practices and the rhythms of a healthy soul. So we're just going to try to get our souls moving, kind of moving back toward wellness. Okay? Sound good? All right. Luke 10 says this in verse 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Whose home was it? Martha's home. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Okay, so what's exactly is happening here in Luke chapter 10 that has caused Jesus to kind of celebrate one sister and sort of publicly discipline another one, right? I mean, she got two Marthas, Martha, Martha. Any child in here knows, mom rolls out the middle name, that's not a good sign. But doubling your name is probably no compliment either, right? So Martha, Martha, this is not great. So what is it that Jesus is so happy about one sister, that one sister contributes and so disappointed with the other? Well, let's be clear. He's not highlighting one personality type above another. This isn't an Enneagram issue. Because there are many Martha people and there are Mary people by design, as God has made us. So he's not saying one makeup is better than the other. God bless Martha people. Right? You want to go on a hike with someone who's a Martha person. Isn't this beautiful, Mary says. Martha's like, we're a long way from the road. We need to get back. The sun's going down. We don't want to be out here after dark. Mary person is like, did you see those flowers? And Martha's person's like, okay, stop it. This way's north. Let's go, right? You know what I'm saying? So you want a Martha person in every team. You want a couple Martha people. So Jesus isn't shaming her because of how she was built. Actually, regardless of whether you're a Mary type or a Martha type, every single one of us should have a heart to serve like a Martha. In fact, Jesus put it very, very clearly when he said in Matthew 20, but among you it will be different. They're talking about kind of the powers of the world. In the world, it's all about power, but he said, whoever wants to be a leader must be a servant. So Mary's not better than Martha because she wasn't serving, and Martha's not worse than Mary because she was serving. Martha's problem was not what she did, but how she did it, and what she missed out on because of it, right? I'm trying to say Martha didn't do a bad thing. She did a good thing in a wrong way. Because she lost her center. She lost her anchor. She lost her why. Eugene Peterson puts it this way. He said, Martha was distracted with much serving. Distracted means not paying attention, means not having a center or an anchor, being pulled this way and pulled that way by whoever and by whatever. In the eldership, we talk about this a lot. It's incredibly important that you don't just focus on the what, but you also focus on the why. Why are we doing this? Why does this matter? It's all about the why. When you lose your why, you really lose your way. And Martha has lost the why. Now, if she hadn't been the way she was, I don't think there would have been a gathering for Mary to sit at Jesus' feet, right? Oh, Mary, how great. We should all just be more like Mary. Okay, well, I'm thankful Martha got the guacamole. So Mary, with all her beautiful everything is, and she still doesn't get any food. So it's good that Martha did this. She just lost the why. She got so wrapped up in the party, being perfect, she forgot about the guests of honor. This is the dad who's so good at planning a vacation and gets the family to Disneyland, but then is like, this cost a ton of money, so we better have some fun. Let's hustle. Right? It's like, well, yeah, great. We're just having the best time of our lives, Dad. Thanks a lot. If you lose the why, you lose the way. And she got so wrapped up in her party, she was planning for Jesus, she forgot about Jesus. She forgot about just simply being present with Jesus. And when we do that, when we lose the anchor, when we lose the center, when we lose the heart, when we get wrapped up with the distractions that easily set in, what happens? What happens is you project out your issues on other people. And you start to be an expert in how other people should be living their lives. Then we see Martha. She makes the audacious step to begin to chastise Jesus and tell Jesus how Jesus should be Jesus. Because notice, they're sitting at a table. She invited him into her house. She throws this lavish party for him. But she's gotten so wrapped up in the what and forgotten about the why and the who that she's not only angry at Mary, but she actually interrupts Jesus. Can you imagine? Right? Excuse me, Jesus, I'm going to let you finish. Tell my sister she needs to help me. Why do you not care? She says. She's accusing Jesus of not caring. Don't you care about my party that I'm throwing for you? Don't you feel honored? She's saying, so stop your preaching. Tell Mary to get in the kitchen because I'm burning the potatoes at present. When we miss the why, when we miss that purpose, when we miss the beating heart, what ends up happening? We get distracted with many things, and then inevitably we end up, from the mouth of Jesus, anxious and troubled. When we're not getting that time with Jesus like we're supposed to, we end up giving ourselves over to anxiety and trouble. Now, it's not just the dinner party that fuels this. I think in our day, it's also the device that we're trying to look at while we're planning the dinner party. Because we're on Pinterest, looking at the epic thing that we've got to get for the thing. But we also have YouTube running because that's telling us how to cook the thing for the thing. And you're back to Pinterest to see how much better that picture was than actually what you've thrown together. Meanwhile, you're on Instagram, and oh my gosh, my friend successfully pulled off this thing, and look who's there, and I didn't get invited to that thing. And now we're mad because we're not at their thing. Oh, and there's something I need to buy from Amazon because it's not here. So now I'm on that app too. And then we get to this place where what happens? We just end up distracted. We're not in the moment. We're not engaged. And then inevitably, distraction leads to anxiety and trouble. A 2014 study found that the rates of anxiety people feel can be directly correlated to the amount of news they consume. I think this 24-hour news cycle stuff is just driving our society crazy. Amen. When the Boston Marathon happened in 2013, they actually did a sampling. They found out that if people watched 6 hours of coverage of the Boston Marathon bombing, they found out that they exhibited more PTSD symptoms than the people that were actually present in the crowd for the bomb that day. We are actually feeling a sense of trauma from watching all this nonstop coverage of these never-ending crises that take place in our day. Anxiety and trouble. Now, hearing this isn't anti-Instagram, destroy your technology, let's all build butter churns. That's not the message today. I'm saying, let's use technology and not be used by technology. Let's get our souls back. Let's not be given over to what is leading us to higher levels of anxiety and trouble. This sermon series, It Is Well With My Soul, is my response to the things God's been whispering to me. This is a result of things that God has been speaking to me. And one of the things that he's been really speaking to me in my heart is rejecting being busy. So just count how many times the word busy is used in conversations. How you doing? Good, just crazy busy. Doing great, summer's awesome, just super busy. Even people ask me, they go, how you been through this quarantine? You been busy? Just like crazy busy like the rest of us? And so I just started going, no. I'm not speaking that over my life. I'm not busy. Do I have responsibility I have to carry? Sure. Do I have a lot on my plate? Yeah. But I'm right here, right now. I got stuff to do, and I'm going to do that stuff, and then I'm going to do the next thing, the thing after that. But I'm not busy. See, being busy is a choice. Being busy is a state of mind. Being busy is a lie that you can get trapped into, where you got to jump over here, and you got to be over there, and you got to be here, but secretly you're thinking about this other thing you need to do, and you're not where you are. And we see this with Martha. It leads right to entitlement. Thinking only about yourself. Tell her to help me. I'm doing everything. Jesus wasn't crazy busy. Weight of the world bearing down on him. Came to save all humanity for sure. Amen. But Dallas Willard said, the one word that he would use to describe Jesus is relaxed. He was going to weddings and stuff. You see him cruising around on foot. What are you doing? What are we doing today, Jesus? Well, we got invited to this wedding. Oh, they ran out of wine. I'll be right back. Cabernet. It's like, what? Wait, don't you need to die on the cross? Yeah, probably, but God will let me know when it's time. My time's not yet come. Can't be pushing me into being busy. Can't be pushing me into being stressed. Someone tapped me, I got to heal him real quick. I'm present where I am. Jesus, stay with us for a while. Sure, okay, I will. I think as we start coming out of this quarantine, the pressure is going to ramp up to be busy again. But I'm just choosing to be here in this moment. I'm going to look you in the eyes. Sure, there's other stuff happening in the world, but we're here right now. This is what we get. This is the moment. This is the instance. God's here. You are here. We're never getting this moment again. So I'm not going to simultaneously be here and somewhere else. I reject the notion and the push and pull to be busy. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to drink deeply this life that Jesus died for me to live. So the big question is, who do you want to be? I came across a Chinese proverb a while ago, ancient Chinese proverb. Any young, aspiring preachers, just throw a Chinese proverb in every once in a while, and everyone will be like, wow, Chinese proverb, huh? Yep, Chinese proverb. So here it is. If you don't change your direction, you'll end up exactly where you're going. Pretty deep, right? It was a fortune cookie. I gotta be fair. If you don't change your direction, you'll end up exactly where you're going. So my question to you is, with the life you're living right now, where's this gonna take you? Where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? Will you be more full of peace, or will you be anxious and troubled? The single most valuable currency you have to spend is your attention. So what are you paying attention to? As one philosopher said, it is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. So as we look at what we're doing and we go, I'm not happy and I'm not peace-filled, but that's okay because it's normal, we should reject the idea. And the notion of normal, if what's normal isn't healthy, if what's normal isn't what God has called us to. So let's live a life based on calling and conviction, not normalcy and addiction. Let's do what God's called us to do. Let's hear the voice of our shepherd leading us to still waters, leading us to green pastures, leading us to the table he's prepared for us. It's possible to gain the whole world and the whole World Wide Web and lose your soul. But God wants our souls to be healthy. If you want to have a healthy soul, we have to learn to do what David did. David said in Psalm 131, he said, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. A little bit of a strange scripture, but it makes sense. You have to learn to calm and quiet your soul. If you have a soul that's like a weaned child, and what's a child that's not weaned? That's a child that's still being breastfed, right? So have you ever seen a child that's hangry and ready to be fed by their mom? You can get pretty worked up. They can't enjoy being with her because they want something from her. That's Martha in this moment. So you're with Jesus, but I want something from Jesus. Tell my sister what to do. Missing it because all you want from Jesus. Mary, she's like a weaned child. She can just simply, having been well fed, now she can say, I don't want anything from you. I just want the benefit and the calm of being with you. You want to be like a weaned child, so your soul within you is able to just find pleasure in being with God, not needing anything from God, but just simply not striving, but just appreciating his grace, appreciating his presence, learning the art and the cultivation of that practice of those deep, beautiful, sweet things that lead to the life that we want. We have to learn to quiet our souls. Martha wanted to tell Jesus what to do. Mary wanted to listen to what Jesus said he was going to do. Do you see the world of difference there? It's as big as a chasm as my will be done and thy will be done. Mary discovered that when you sit at the feet of Jesus, you know things other people don't know. When you get to John chapter 12, there's a party and Jesus is sitting there and Mary comes out and she pours out this precious anointing oil on his feet. It's worth like 2 years' salary. She pours it out and people were like, what the heck? And Jesus is like, all right, fellas, get over yourselves. She knows what I'm about to do. No one else knew Jesus was about to die on the cross, not even his disciples. They were surprised. Mary wasn't surprised. She saw it coming. He said, she realizes this is the only anointing my body is going to get before I do the work on the cross. How'd she know that? How'd she know to do that? How'd she know to be there at the right time? Because she sat at his feet and she listened to what he had to say. And the Bible promises it can be this way for us too. Psalm 25:14 says, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. The fear of the Lord is reverence, respect, sitting at his feet. As you do that, he'll trust you with things other people won't hear. You won't miss out on that chance to hear what he wants to do in the world. And you'll get to be a part of that. Amen. In Jesus' name, you receive it. Amen. Bruce.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Amen. The Bible has a lot to say about a prosperous soul. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, beloved, I pray in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. There's something about as we're prospering on the inside, the outside prospers too. And so we obviously are doing things different. We're not going to have people come up front to be prayed for, but we still want that opportunity to be out there. And so at the Welcome Center, there's prayer cards there. You can fill those out, and you can even request somebody to call you and specifically pray for you. But the prayer team will pray for every one of those. And so we want to meet those needs and see God meet those needs and meet you in that spot. And so let's just respond in our hearts to what Chris has shared here today and what God's speaking to our hearts. Lord, we ask that you would make our souls more at peace, more full of joy than ever before, Lord. Lord, you came that we might have life in its fullness, Lord. Lord, and Peter, you said if we had these fruit of the Spirit and it was increasing, Lord, it would render us neither unfruitful in the kingdom, Lord God. And so we ask that you would just cause us to grow and to prosper from the inside out, Lord. Lord, there'd be such a health within, Lord God, that it would just bring health and life to those around us, Lord. It would change our outlooks and our situations, Lord. And so, Lord, we ask that you would make us more healthy than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. So another thing we're going to do different here today is we're going to go out singing. And one reason we're doing this is because rather than everybody kind of going out in a herd, we're trying to keep space between people. So you'll be ushered out from the back. So as we sing, you'll be released to go, and so you can congregate in the parking lot if you want to, but we need to kind of have some space between people as we go to just kind of keep things safe. So this will be fun. So we're going to make a declaration here today, right? And we are the redeemed of the Lord, and we're going to say so.